Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is the sixth Sunday of Lent, Palm Sunday. It is one of the few days of the Christian calendar containing a stunning juxtaposition of two themes of seemingly opposite sentiment. On this day, we recall by our own reenactment the triumphal entry of Christ into the Holy City. And it is on this day that we begin in earnest Holy Week by hearing the Passion narrative from St. Matthew's Gospel in its entirety. The crosses are veiled in violet, pointing to the approach of the pinnacle of the penitential season of Lent, Good Friday, but also reminding us that for those who actually witness the suffering of Christ, first person, that the significance of the cross was hidden from them. The cross, that symbol which is for us now a sign of victory over death and sin, was for those who first knew Christ a symbol of their perfect dread. And that symbol which draws us close now was then the reason that all had abandoned him and deserted him and fled. The redemptive significance of the cross was veiled. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. We physically reenact that first Palm Sunday procession today. In entering into the church, we knock on the door symbolizing Christ's initial reception into Jerusalem. We sing, All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King. But by the time of the gospel reading, moments later, we also acknowledge how quickly the cries turned from Hosanna to crucify him. In the scriptures, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the change takes place over six chapters. In time, it was probably less than a week. And in our service, it takes place over just a few minutes. The sobering truths of Holy Week begin today as we retrace in the Passion narrative from each of the four Gospels over the course of this week. We recognize not only our Lord in the scenes of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but also ourselves. We may see how we fit into the Passion narrative. Now, usually I would find that to be a narcissistic practice, to always try to find yourself in the scriptures somewhere. This is precisely, however, what is prescribed for us today in the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians that we have heard from today also. St. Matthew and Mark and Luke and John recount how the Passion of Christ happened. St. Paul begins to apply this truth to the spiritual life of each follower of Christ. And he says, put yourself in there. At the beginning of a long week of contemplation of the Passion of Christ, what are the instructions of the great apostle St. Paul for those who are to be called Christians? Don't just observe Christ's passion from the outside. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Don't just listen. Don't just watch. Don't just wonder. Get your mind in there, or rather, let this mind be in you. The mind that is in Christ, that made him willing to be humbled, to be obedient, and to be devoted to the will of the Father, even to the point of a humiliating suffering, or even death for the sake of others. Let that mind be in you, is the imperative. Put yourself into the Passion of Christ, or rather, put the Passion of Christ into you. Now, when you hear these accounts, you may have other thoughts as to where we fit into that scene. You may realize that your mindset or your behaviors are more like others in that passion story. Perhaps you're more like the disciples who flee when things don't look so safe or prosperous. Or maybe we're more like the one who walks alongside secretly, believing, but from a distance, watching to see what others do first. Some must realize that they are more like the ones who mock and deride those who truly believe in this Christ. Others are like the women who follow Christ and weep to see the suffering. Perhaps we ought to hope to see in ourselves something of Simon of Cyrene, who receives the cross of Christ, takes it up, and shares the burden with the Lord. What mind is in you? As the Holy Spirit works to reveal that in you, recall that today the urging of St. Paul is this: whatever mind you have in you about being a Christian, about loving God, or about living a holy life, from this point forward, let this mind be in you, the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, the mind that welcomes suffering and even death to carry the burden of others. Now, those who are familiar with the passage from Philippians know that the humiliation and death on the cross is not the end of the passage. From that selfless death, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it's here that we say, finally, this gospel has some good news. That's what we like to hear more about. And what a scene could be painted in our minds. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, heaven on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that would be something. You mean even the politicians will bow their knees? Yep. You mean even folks from other religions would bow their knee? Yep. You mean even people that are part of the problem with the world today, those other people? Yep. You mean even the people that I see around the Thanksgiving table? Yep. You mean even me? Yep. You mean every knee bows and every tongue confesses? Oh, the sound of that is sweet. Think of all the ways in which we'll say, I told you so. I tried to tell you, but would you listen? No, but now you listen. Anyways, Jesus though, right? Now you see what I meant. Okay, well then, how satisfying. And the way that St. Paul makes it sound, all this is going to happen anyways, regardless of what I do and regardless of what mind I have in me. And so what we hear is, let this mind be in you, blah, 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 blah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have this mind in you, the mind that is ultimately, in the end, correct about everything. Isn't that good news? That's not actually the good news. You can guess that's not quite the right way to read what St. Paul is saying here. So how can we get this better? Well, for 1 week of the year, we try. We veil the cross, and we begin the week hearing St. Paul say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And we quickly learn in the Passion narrative that the mind of Christ is not saying, I told you so. The mind of Christ is willing to suffer for others, even when the nature of the final victory is really unclear, even when it is veiled. Even when you're not sure what the fruit of any of this suffering is going to be, and even when you can't quite see it, even when it passes all understanding. Yes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, because Christ ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is the King. But Christ only ascends after he rose victorious from the grave. And Christ went to the grave in submission to the Father, in submission to humiliation, to humility, to suffering, and even to an ignominious death. Not so that you won't have to, but as a pattern, as a model, as the mind that you are to have in you, that you are to participate in. the knees bow, the tongues confess, because that mind of Christ is the mind of God. And this mind of Christ, this mind of God, that thought it not robbery to hang on to glory, to pleasure, to the notion of equality with God, instead acquiesced. And that is the mind that is to be in you. Yes, you have your personal and inalienable rights. And no, you don't have to volunteer for anything. And no, you don't have to say anything you don't want to. And no, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. Your royal status as a child of God is something that you could really grasp, clutch, cling to even. But if you look forward to participating fully on the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, then you shouldn't mumble your way through Lent and Holy Week or sit in the seat of mockers saying, this is all just a bit too much. Rather, we're all meant to participate in the mind that brings about a paschal resurrection. We're to find ourselves in that passion narrative and to have that passion in us. And with the mind of Christ in you, make yourself of no reputation. With the mind of Christ in you, make yourself the form of a servant. With the mind of Christ, humble yourself and become obedient, if not to death or death on a cross, then to whatever the shape of the cross is that God has laid on your shoulder in your life. And then the cry of all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, will roll off the tongue without a hint of irony. Then Hosanna in the highest may be more than the flippant words of those who have not yet counted any cost. And with the mind of Christ, those who follow him this week may truly say, on Easter and every day, with the earnestness of one who has seen both the resurrection and placed their finger in his wounds, my Lord and my God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.